You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Ah, yes. It is that time of the week, folks. It is time for the Friday forecast, brought to you by Selective Insurance. That's right, brought to you by Selective Insurance. It is time to go ahead and be with them. They are the best insurance company around. They will get you covered for all your insurance needs. And the best part about it is they are Selective. They'll only get you the best coverage for your home, your auto, your business, flood insurance needs. Find an agent near you at selective.com. They bring you the Friday forecast. They bring you the kid. What's up, the kid?
First of all, the energy in this room needs to change. I mean, I'm sensing so much negativity. I brought in my orange shirt. I brought in my pom-poms. Let's go. The Indianapolis Colts defense stinks. You guys keep talking about Andrew Luck dominating the game, and he may be good. Indianapolis is missing their best corner. Their two corners are both rated below Buster and Justin Gilbert. Rated below Justin Gilbert. I said it. What do you think Flash Gordon is going to do to this team? He's going to chew them up and spit them out.
All right, all right.
He certainly should, and that's what the Browns are going to hope they get. I agree with you. Defensively, this Indianapolis Colts team, not that good. We talked about they've given up at least 24 points every game on the road. That will be the key for the Browns to get the job done here. But let's get it underway, the Friday forecast.
Number one.
How long, guys, a leash should Brian Hoyer have on Sunday? Or should he even have one?
You stole my thunder right there. He should not have one. One bad pass, as far as I'm concerned. Bring in Superman. Let's go.
So you're saying the leash should be so short that it is invisible. It doesn't even exist.
Yes. Let me see football.
Football, that is. All right. Well, based on Coach Pettine's comments, I don't believe there is a definitive leash, so it may in fact be invisible one way or the other. But again, I think his intent.
We didn't ask what it is. What should it be, Matt Wilhelm?
It should be. I don't think it's after one interception. If he throws a second interception, he needs to get pulled.
I think that the leash is about 5 inches long. It's the shortest leash you've ever seen in your life because they have to win. So I think Coach Pettine. I think it's a short leash. For Brian.
I think it's got to be a short leash as well. I think you approach this game like it's a game seven where you got multiple starters in the bullpen. If the first guy doesn't have it, you bring him in. I do think this as well, though, even if Brian Hoyer is playing well, you're going to see John Football in the game.
Agreed.
I believe that. I think that he has earned it. He's shown that he can bring something different, something for defenses to prepare for. And you know that the Colts probably have spent some time this week on Johnny, which is good for Hoyer and it's good for Johnny. But I think Brian Hoyer, to me, has either shown that he's got it or he doesn't. You cannot afford to have, for example, in the game where you beat Tennessee, you basically went a half without scoring. You can't afford to have those kind of lulls against the Indianapolis Colts. I don't care about turnovers per se, but if the offense isn't clicking, if you're having three and outs, if you're not converting first downs and converting third downs into first downs and not keeping Andrew Luck off the field, you might have to make a switch. I hope no switch needs to be made because that means the Browns came out hot, Brian Hoyer played well, and you have a better shot of winning the game. But if it looks like it's getting off the rails and getting sideways, it's time for the guy that wears the cape in the eyes of the kid, John Football.
Number two.
The Browns must do blank over these next four games to make the playoffs.
They need to win out. They control their own destiny one way and one way only, and that's winning out. Let's not leave it in anyone else's hands. Win every game.
In my eyes, I think winning the two divisional opponent games versus Baltimore and Cincinnati and winning one more game will allow them a great opportunity to make the playoffs as well.
The Browns need to win on third down in red zone both offensively and defensively the next four games in order to give themselves a shot for the playoffs.
I think they're going to have to go 4-0 personally to get in. I think they could get 3-1 with help if, as you said, Matt, they beat Cincinnati and they beat Baltimore, who will be without Haloti Ngata now that he has been suspended in that final game Sunday, December the 28th in Baltimore. But anything less than 3, it's good night, Irene.
Yes.
9-7 is just not going to do it this year in the AFC where every team seems to have a winning record.
Number 3.
Is Joe Hayden the best defensive back in the NFL right now? Not just cornerback, but the best DB in the NFL?
I believe he's as good as just about anybody, but Richard Sherman and Darrell Revis would probably be one and two on my list, followed very closely by Joe Hayden. I love what he does for the team. He's been playing lights out football, but I cannot rate him number one.
Again, after a slow start, and we talked about this earlier this week, and I think we had Brian Baldinger early in the week as well, talking Johnny Football and Brian Hoyer, and we brought up Joe Hayden, and he said he is the best. And in my eyes, the kid, I'm on the same page with you. I think Sherman Revis set the bar from a cornerback position, and Joe Hayden with his play as of late. Slow start in the season, but he is coming on strong, is delivering number three.
I give, if it's not Revis, it's Joe Hayden. That boy can play. I've said it for a long time now. That boy can play football. So I'll go ahead on. I'm going to go out on a limb. Joe Hayden is the best.
I'm going to say it. Joe Hayden is the best. And I just look at the last month of what he's done. And this is going to be a good test for him. T.Y. Hilton, much like Antonio Brown, that kind of smaller, shiftier receiver that gives him problems. But he completely took Sammy Watkins out of the game. And over the last 4 weeks, he gave up fewer yards in sum to A.J. Green, Andre Johnson, Julio Jones, and Sammy Watkins. Then Patrick Peterson, one of the other supposed great cornerbacks in the NFL, gave up to Julio Jones in one game last Sunday. So I think Joe Hayden is the best corner. And the fact that he's going out there blocking kicks, working on special teams, doing everything he can to help this team win, his leadership, his attitude. And when you see a guy get paid like that, and come out and play and even raise his game, I think that says a lot to the young guys in the locker room, and you guys probably know that as well. When you see a guy get a big contract, all eyes are on him, and he got off to that slow start. I don't know if it was the foot that was bothering him at the end of preseason, the hip, but since he's kind of turned it on and gotten it, he's been as good as anybody.
All I know is he sits courtside at the Cavs games.
So he is doing just fine.
Number four.
And wrapping up the Friday forecast for today, guys, outside of the Browns versus the Colts, what's the one must-see NFL game this weekend?
I'm going to say Philly at Seattle at Philly, and I'm calling for Chip Kelly and the boys to take down Seattle.
I'm going to go with two games this week, and I'm going to keep it relevant to the Cleveland Browns in most cases, but I'm going to go with Pittsburgh at Cincinnati and also New England at San Diego. So playoff implications for the Cleveland Browns, so you got to eye those other bubble teams.
I agree with that, but I am going with Philly and Seattle because I'd like to see Chip Kelly's offense go against the Seattle defense, and it's going to be who's going to bend but not break.
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh-Cincinnati because if the Steelers can win that game and the Browns can win, they will have an opportunity to surpass Cincinnati over the coming weeks with a big win at home at First Energy Stadium. So I think that's a must-have game for Browns fans there, and it's tough to root for the Steelers, but you've got to because I think the easiest path for the Browns to get in is by winning the division. I think the wild card has too many hurdles. I'm very much looking forward to Seattle and Philly at 4 at 8:30. New England-San Diego is a great game, and then Aaron Rodgers on Monday Night Football is always going to be fun to watch against the Atlanta Falcons. Some good offensive fireworks, I believe, will be on display in that game. So that'll do it for the Friday forecast. We still have much to talk about here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we'll start with this. We talked about it earlier, the matchup that the Browns must win to win the game on Sunday, the kid. In your opinion, what is that matchup?
I would say that the Browns receivers have got to get open, which they should against these DBs. And then Brian Hoyer, if you can't get it done, let Superman come in and hit the wide open receivers.
Let Superman come in and hit the wide open receivers. I think Brian Hoyer, this is the kind of game where he shouldn't be under too much duress. Their pass rush has not been great. Nobody with more than 5 sacks on this team. Now they have a lot of guys with 4, but the offensive line, I think, needs to really assert themselves. And we saw them do it against Atlanta. And that was the game that kind of raised the eyebrows on Brian Hoyer because he wasn't under pressure and the ground game was good. If we can get the Brian Hoyer who does thrive under those circumstances when the line plays well like he did the first 5 weeks, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, the Browns absolutely will have a shot in this game.
They do. And I think, again, I hope and pray that, Isaiah Crowell, who missed practice Wednesday but has since recovered yesterday and today to partake in practice, I believe I could see a big game from him so that the onus doesn't have to fall solely on Brian Hoyer's arm, but his decision-making when he does in fact throw because we solidified a run game. I'd rather give a majority of reps or rushes to Crow as opposed to spreading it throughout Winston, West, and Crowell.
I'd like to see Brian Hoyer set his feet.
Yes.
If Brian Hoyer can set his feet, I think he's going to give us a shot. If the O-line can protect and Brian can set his feet, he becomes a more accurate quarterback. And again, if he can get those kind of things under control, I do think we have a shot in this game. The other side, too, we got to be careful of Josh Cribbs. Josh Cribbs coming back home. I'd like to see Joel Bitonio go down on the as a number one on kickoff team and just come down and blow him up because of what he did to Hester a few weeks ago. So how
yes.
about that one?
Yes, exactly. All right, I'm going to put this one in the Friday forecast. We didn't ask it. If you were to see Johnny Manziel, Brian Hoyer plays well. If you were to see Johnny Manziel in this game, how would you want to see him used?
Assuming Hoyer's staying in at the game?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to see him get a whole series at quarterback. I don't want this one play, read option stuff. I'd like to see him get a whole series and see what he can do. In fact, I'd like to mention that, as everybody knows, I'm a huge Johnny Manziel fan, and my man Todd Derry is bringing me to the game specifically because he wants me to be there the first time Johnny Manziel makes a winning play in the stadium.
Matt, you got? I'd like to see him, actually, if I'm going to jump in here real quick, how about maybe Johnny Manziel at punt return?
You know what? We talked about it. You know, Ray Guy and I talked about him in the red zone, and it's a good thought. I just don't think that a Brian Hoyer-led offense gets all the way down there. And I'm not saying that bringing Johnny Manziel would be a waste, but taking a shot at potentially wasting downs in a coveted red zone opportunity is one. So I concur with the kid again. I think a series, very similar to maybe what we saw in Buffalo, give him the ball and let him take an entire series, and he progresses as he goes. If they move the football and things are good, you stay with him. But in the back of your mind, your intent is to go back to Brian Hoyer. It is not to keep him in at any point, because I do believe there is a spark, and I do believe in this football game, because of the lack of a pass rush, so they're going to be setting back in Brian Hoyer, closing up some of those zones, the threat of run. So Johnny Manziel on the ground is something that I would like to see in this football game.
I'd like to see Johnny Manziel in the red zone, in the running packages. I think it's another dimension. When the field shrinks for you and you can't go deep, obviously, when you're in the red zone, I think Johnny with the ball in his hand, just pump faking, being able to throw a ball or running the ball is something to look forward to.
I certainly think that it is. All right, here it is. Time to finally call our shots here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We need the Brian Hoyer passing yards and the score of the game, the kid, for an opportunity for you. Yes, you're eligible to win the Ataba Rubin helmet, which I know you would treasure.
I would treasure it. However, I'm going to keep going with the same prediction until it actually comes true. It almost came true last week. I'm calling for Superman to come off the bench. Brian Hoyer has a slow start, 42 passing yards. Johnny comes in, lights it up, 31-29 rounds.
Wow. All right, well, I will start, and I believe that Brian Hoyer will start and finish this football game. He will throw for 309, and the game will be a battle, and the Browns will have the ball to finish the football game. They will lose, though, 34-27.
I'm going Brian Hoyer completes the game, 242 yards, and I think the Browns lose the game 29-22.
29-22, Colts. I'm caught up in the emotion, folks. It's Believe Land. We need this one. We're going to have to find a way to have it. I think this game is going to completely go off script. I think Brian Hoyer will start. I'm not sure if he finishes it. I do think he's going to throw for 205 yards, though. And the Browns come out with a defensive performance for the ages in a sloppy slowdown game that nobody saw coming. And they win it by the final score of 21-20.
I think the sprinkling system's on at the stadium right now.
They should slow it down. Slow down that turf. Slow down that game. We're calling our shots there, and that was it. So we're split 2-2 on the Colts and the Browns.
Throw an extra hundy to the clock operator.
That's right. Speed the roll, Willie, roll. Kid, give him a roll, Willie, roll. Roll, Willie, roll. That's what you got to do with the clock here for the Browns to get out of it. Want to thank all of our great callers today for calling their shots. Lots of good opinions. I like it. Even when you guys are fired up, I like that. Appreciate it. Congrats to Stan on the induction into the Whack Pack here for CBD. It started. It has started today with our man Stan in
the
Brooklyn.
The kingpin.
The king. He is. He is the king. He will be known as the king from now on. King Stan. All right, for Matt Wilhelm and Joe Juravicious and the kid, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thank you for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. Let's go, Browns!